just try and wing it. We're just going to go.
Fucking love it.
Should we maybe not say goodbye to Brad?
Cool.
I'm good with that.
Changing.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Yo, 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 welcome to Nerd AF, a weekly podcast dedicated to all things nerd, from the realm of comics, movies, TV, and video games. My name is Hugh Johnson, and I'm joined by Brad Bogus and Richard Williams, and today we have producer Vince. We're going to be talking about the Avengers new trailer. Also, we're going to talk about the movie Annihilation starring Natalie Portman. And I'm going to give you a little rundown through all the video games because I'm running the show today, and you know it's me. I got to talk about video games all day, every day. All right. We're also celebrating Brad here. Brad is going to be leaving us sometime within the near future. Brad, why don't you just explain to our audience
what's going on? Leaving. He's moving.
Yeah. I'm evolving, guys.
He's evolving his position.
Recently found out that I was going to be working for a company out in Palo Alto, California.
He found the Thunderstone.
Like a nerd haven, which is pretty great, right? So I should be able to up my nerd game there. But it does mean that I will be relocating. And so, unfortunately, I will probably not be here permanently as a host. However, I still will be involved, of course, in every way possible. I will be a recurring guest, I'm sure, but we're probably going to also do some video content, hopefully, to keep me involved.
So the plan right now, everybody, is that we're going to create a Patreon or a YouTube channel, and Brad is going to be hosting the after recording after show for half an hour. So find us on social at NerdAFShow. Let us know exactly what you want out of Brad as a post-game, analysis, host kind of a thing, because Sports Center, the place for sports, Brad's on it.
That's right. Should we do like one of those things where I have like one of like a whole board of topics and I just go through it like one of those dickhead, really confident
wearing like
sports
one
guys
of like the headset, like a big boom mic. We just lost all 17 of our listeners.
Like a bunch of people like stopped our podcast. Now. Brad is becoming a force ghost, so he'll be around.
Oh, yes. I fucking love that.
You may strike me down, I become stronger.
Brad's a force ghost.
So, like I said, it's me. I'm running the show. So we're going to talk about video games first. So I'm going to run through just four things that happened in the world of gaming this week. Let's talk about Fortnite user Twitch. Ninja on Twitch did a stream with Drake and hit 600,000 views on Twitch. That broke a record. Man. Also had Steelers receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. So shouts to Ninja.
Here we go,
shouts
Steelers. Here we go.
Yeah. You guys got beat by the Jags twice. Sorry.
Yeah, for all the Steelers listeners out there.
How'd the Patriots do last year?
I love it. I'm like, what?
I'm going to scratch that itch for Hugh.
Oh, yeah.
Who stole what?
What are you talking about?
Who's the thief?
So shout out to Ninja. That was awesome.
You know what's awesome that I love seeing is the inclusion of all of these major celebrities from like, the NBA or from entertainment getting involved in esports and Twitch streaming and video gaming. Like, it's so cool to see video gaming coming out of the shadows. It's almost like in the same way that weed was sort of this in the closet thing, and in certain legal states you get the freedom of coming out of the closet. Like, there's this idea that now gaming is coming out of the closet with some of these major celebrities, and they're showing up and like, they're becoming investors. They're just players. You know what I mean? It's really cool.
It's a big deal. Yeah, it's exciting to see all the big names just like who are in the Overwatch like league right now.
Yeah.
You've got a guy we know well, Stan Kroenke. He owns the local teams around here. He owns like Arsenal, and he owns the Los Angeles Rams. So it's a big name. Big name players in the game right now. Second thing, I'm going to go off to Soul Calibur 6. Geralt of Rivia of The Witcher 3 is going to be the guest in Soul Calibur 6. I'm super excited for that. Like, for those of you who don't know, Soul Calibur always features a guest. So with Soul Calibur 2, I had a GameCube, so I got Link. People on Xbox got Spawn. People on PlayStation got Heihachi from Tekken. Mm-hmm. Star Wars characters have been in it, Yoda and Vader in Soul Calibur 4, and so it's always a nice tradition. So this time you got Geralt of Rivia from The Witcher.
Talking about a couple different video games at once when you were saying that. I was must be out of the loop. I did not follow that. Calibur, Witcher, Geralt.
I was like, I'm following you.
I never played it. I just know that there's a really big sword on the cover of all the games.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Sea of Thieves comes out Tuesday. I'm really excited for that. That's Rare's kind of pirate open world, shared world experience.
Oh, that's so, open world.
Basically, there's no like real leveling. You just like go out, hit the high seas, try and get treasure.
That's my shit. Like
16 people to a room, and then you just try and turn in treasure. Or if you encounter other pirates, you can, of course, kill them and take their shit.
Yeah.
That's when things get real.
That makes me happy.
I can't tell you a pirate game I've ever played that I've really enjoyed that was ever really good. Usually, it's always these really cheesy games where you're, like, you know, over the world in your little boat, like, boom, boom, boom.
On or based off Pirates of the Caribbean or something like that.
Right. Like, I know Assassin's Creed released one, but I had just played the Assassin's Creed prior that was set in like Revolutionary Boston, which in my opinion is like the height of that entire game series.
Really?
Oh, dude, because I'm like a fucking huge nerd about 18th century history, and I love Boston and how historic it was. So
I haven't played any.
Which one? Oh, damn, that was the guy. He was I forget his name, but he was Native American. And
yes.
On the, okay.
That's right.
Oh, so that yeah, awesome. Okay, great.
Our podcast audience it's will like, love and interact with what happened there so well.
Assassin's Creed. I was like, oh my God, yes.
Yeah. So, okay. Lastly, I don't know if you guys saw this story. It's out on like every like major news outlet. A girl bought a samurai sword and tried to hack into her boyfriend. Like, with the sword while he was sleeping at night.
No.
Dude survived. Did some win-lose shit, as he described it.
Come some win-lose shit?
Hashtag win-lose shit is the hashtag for this episode.
Right. No, like, he had, like, three fingers severed. No. Reason why this relates to games is, like, she found, he had a Tinder app on his phone. She said he played too much PUBG, Players Underground Battleground. Player Unknown Battleground, excuse me. And he does that for about 12 to 13 hours a day. So his girlfriend just got super pissed and tried to kill him. I don't know why I'm chuckling.
Wow.
But
ban all samurai swords.
Did he survive this situation?
Wing Lush.
That's the extent of the explanation.
My God.
I guess he like was able to counter and like wrap his arms around her and
Did he bleed? Or like did he get hit?
He lost three fingers.
Yeah. He was like fucking
he stuck that blade in a fire like, for a long time so she could carter
on. I got so hung up on Wing Lu shit.
That's a crazy story.
Wow.
Holy shit.
I imagine, like, you know, you could just break up with the guy. Like, what?
You could buy a samurai sword and try and kill him. Like,
I mean, that's one option, I guess.
That's a message.
That
sticks with you.
I would love to use a samurai sword like a ninja, but not in that regard.
Wing Lu shit.
Wing Lu shit. Dude,
that was some, like, Luke Kylo Ren shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He fucking Kylo Ren
the
temple.
He did Kylo Ren it, dude. He did Holy Kylo Ren it. All right. So the big news of the week.
Oh my god. Oh, the big news.
Done.
Big news of the week. Avengers dropped a new trailer. What was it? Marvel dropped a new Avengers trailer. What was it? Friday?
Thank God we're talking about Marvel.
Yes.
And so Richard is going to take us through an in-depth breakdown of the trailer.
Pause. Okay, so if you're looking at the beginning...
Notes just came out, ladies and gentlemen.
So if you're looking at the beginning shot with the ship that's about to happen, a fiery object is basically falling from the sky. And I have to say, that's the Hulk. But if you've read the Infinity Gauntlet comic book... Mm-hmm. It's the Silver Surfer. That's right.
So is it the Hulk or the Silver Surfer?
It's the Silver Surfer. I mean, the Hulk.
In the MCU, it's the Hulk. In the comics, it's the Silver Surfer.
Thank you. Yes.
Got it.
As we go on.
That looks like Doctor Strange where he flips the city.
It looks like he only ever had Wakanda, remember? The throne?
To wipe out half the universe.
It's very intense.
All the Infinity Stones.
Okay, so basically Gamora says that with a snap of his fingers, when he does have all the Infinity Gems, Thanos
basically can wipe out half of reality. He doesn't want all of it, but half. And my question is, who gets destroyed when he wipes out half of humanity?
Why does he only want to wipe out half instead of all?
And that's something we need to touch on, his motivations. Like, so in the comics, he's trying to impress the personification of death, right?
Right.
Mistress Death.
Yes, Mistress Death.
Lady Death?
Lady Death.
Yeah, Lady Death, Mistress
Death. I got some Lady Death comic books.
Yeah.
I'm on the page now.
So, he's trying to impress her. Do you think that's going to show up in the... Like, that's going to be his reasoning in the movies or not?
Well, some people have been talking about that after Thor Ragnarok, Hela, the goddess of death, is going to be who he might try to...
That's interesting.
...start to impress. It's like, I destroyed half the universe for you.
Oh, so this is not Lady Death. This is... Hella goddess of death.
Well, now that's just my personal opinion.
Well, because Lady Death's a totally different comic book.
He's talking about actual Lady Death, the comic book.
Yeah, like Lady Death and Purgatory, like the Mistress of the Devil,
like Marvel comic books.
Yeah, in the Marvel comic book, he wants to.
It's two different things.
Impress Mistress Death.
Right.
Okay. He's trying to impress. Sorry, I got
the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We don't know how they're going to do it because you can't have every character from the comics coming to the movies. Budget issues,
of course,
shit.
But good on you, Brad, because I have that animated Lady Death.
Oh yeah, Lady Death,
shit.
Right. So. So he is saying that a character Hela from Thor Ragnarok could be the person that Thanos is trying to impress in the movies.
Got it.
So Gamora and Nebula are basically the children of Thanos.
Yes,
and they've always fought, and you know that if you've watched both Guardians of the Galaxy.
Tell me his name again.
Thanos.
Should we talk about this, Hugh?
He was bothered about this.
Spider-Man dressed in the middle of the freaking daylight of the road of the street, putting on his hat like it's a secret identity, man.
Right.
Let's give him a little love with the past one. It's just like
he's
you
literally
show
just swinging around in his.
I know. I agree with you, but this is the first time you see Spider-Man have spider sense. His hair's literally raised up, and I'm like, all right. I get that. But we don't know what happens. He could jump outside the bus, but people will see him.
And this is also really early on in his Spider-Maning career. When he's only a kid and he's still figuring it out.
He's still in high school.
In the comics, he ran down the street and put on a shitty mask once or twice.
He's not wielding his great responsibility yet.
Right.
His great power is growing.
Exactly. Let's watch the rest of it. We're doing this live, people.
Truck it. We'll do it live. So right now they're showing all the Infinity Gems. So Doctor Strange has one, Vision has one.
Wakanda has one.
Let's talk about this plan of yours. I think it's good, except it sucks. So let me do
Can we pause real quick?
Are we talking about how much I love Chris Pratt as a superhero in any way?
that is an awesome interaction between Star-Lord and Iron Man. But I want to focus on Spider-Man right there.
Okay.
The costume he's wearing is different.
It is so weird.
It's Iron Spider. It's the Iron Spider.
Homecoming, which is the Iron Spider. Yep.
Right, which he did not accept.
Which he did not accept.
It, in the spoiler.
Yeah, if you haven't seen
is the official post-spoiler warning. We are not spoiler-friendly at this point.
Right. Because he needs it. I mean, if he's going to go into outer space and fight Thanos on his planet,
right.
You know, then he needs, like, the best.
I think he needs that bio suit.
Before we go, I'm curious to see if he like stays as that and someone else takes over the role of Spider-Man. Like, say, Miles Morales, because that is actually like hinted at in the one of the
But that's like multiverse.
That is multiverse.
I know. It's like, I want my Puerto Ricans.
Neil deGrasse Tyson told me to love the multiverse.
I'm pushing play.
We're not done talking about it.
So, pause.
All right.
Did you want to say? I wanted to say something. That's why.
Say
she something.
Just Babe Ruth the pause.
We're actually watching it and talking at the same time. So go for it. Go for it.
So one of the big things that's going to happen is Thor gets his Mjolnir, which is Mjolnir, his hammer destroyed.
Stormbreaker, the new one.
And half Thor Ragnarok. And half, so one of the arcs in this movie is he's going to get a new weapon. Some people say it's going to be Stormbreaker. Some people are going to say it's going to be Mjolnir Ultimate. It's like half hammer, half axe.
Where is he getting it from?
The dwarves that are in space. And by the way,
Peter, space dwarves?
Totally.
Coast to coast.
And Peter Dinklage is supposed to, he's in this. If you look at
I see him on the cast, but he doesn't have a character listed.
Hey, it's like this. Everyone's saying that he's supposed to be the space dwarves. And who made his first hammer.
Okay.
And so they're going to make his second hammer. And I'm totally excited about it.
And it's going to have an axe on it?
Totally.
So, yeah, it's going to be half hammer.
On the other, yeah.
If it's Mjolnir Ultimate.
Groot is going to give him part of himself.
Yeah, because if you look at some of the action figures and Lego stuff, it's like this. You see it, and it's like this wood handle that just kind of creeps up on the axe hammer part, and everyone's like, because Groot is there. It's teenage Groot, not baby Groot, but teenage. So he's totally there, and he gives some of himself to be a part of Thor's new hammer.
Spoiler alert for the actual movie that we're
just right. It's like this. We haven't seen it.
I'm not super familiar with all the lore here, but what benefit to his hammer does Groot provide as a handle?
I don't know.
What benefit wouldn't it provide?
I mean, I think
he's sentient. He's a sentient, basically, tree. And so it's like this, what could a sentient, like, wood or whatever bring to that hammer?
Would it think for itself?
Like it would have like a homing tracking system. Like you throw it and you could be like, go after that dude, and it just starts flipping around.
Well, the other one did that too.
Yeah, see how
but saying, like, would it be able to decide not to be swung?
Oh, right. I do not want to kill. I have free will.
It will stop him. It will stop him.
I'm pushing play. Let's see who has more to say. All right.
There's Groot. So pause.
So is that young Gamora?
That's
then?
Young Gamora right there.
So young Gamora, basically he goes to her planet and he destroys everything. And this is what Thanos does. He always takes a tribute. Yeah. He always takes a young one and he raises them as one of his children. That's why they always say, you know, like the Black Order, Nebula, Gamora, they are the children at Thanos.
I think they're about to pop up here pretty soon.
Oh, so real quick, you'll see her people. So Thanos goes around destroying places to try to find a bunch of gems so he can wipe out half of humanity to impress a woman.
Flowers. Maybe. We don't know that.
Yeah.
We don't know. The rumor is that he is doing all of this because his planet, Titan, was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
All his people, and he had a chance to save them.
Mm-hmm.
So they are really trying to make this villain relatable and show regret.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I mean, it's not like that in the comic book. Right. It's just completely different. But he is showing regret. I could have saved my people, and I didn't.
So now I'm going to destroy
half the universe. And who's to say he's not doing this to bring back his people?
But, I mean, he has to also be aggressive and a badass as well. You're bringing in this many heroes into one action flick. Like, the villain has to be...
Like, Doomsday level. Like,
godly. Yeah.
Well, like, and they've been saying... So, the Russo brothers are like, they want him to be Darth Vader times 10. Like, seriously.
Well,
like,
it has to be, because, like, a whiny little boy took down Darth Vader. So.
Yeah. Whoops. So, seriously, that's the reason in the movie universe, I'm not talking about comic books, that he's maybe trying to do all of this. And he does take tributes and children from each planet that he conquers. If you look at it in this trailer... You see her people on the side, and the Chitauri, which were in the first Avengers film mm-hmm. that came and attacked Earth. They're holding back all her people. So,
got it.
Anyway.
And she escapes him later on. That's how she becomes part of the...
Yeah, she's... Yeah, she's just like, I don't want to... Actually, yeah. She left. She was done.
Oh, so there they are. Black Order. You can't see that, but whatever.
The Black Order.
So this is one of the members, pause, of the Black Order. His name is Ebony Maw.
Yes. And he like is...
Yeah, he really does.
He, I know. Oh, yeah, oh, he does. God. That's a good pause on it, too.
He's scary as shit. And in the comic books, if you know, it's like this. He really fucked with, excuse my language, Doctor Strange.
We're an explicit podcast.
He completely messed with Doctor Strange. And in the comic books, he made Doctor Strange basically a double agent.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It looks like he's messing with him right now.
Right. Yeah. But I, like, can't see in this trailer if he took the Eye of Agamotto, his Time Stone.
Yeah.
Time Stone,
which is one of the Infinity
Right.
We should back it up.
So you're watching Young Gamora again.
Yes.
All right. As soon as the dude jumps on the ship... It's right after that. This whole thing should be. Yeah, he's not wearing it, right? I didn't see it.
He's what?
He wasn't wearing it.
I don't think so. I think he took it from him. But if you see in the trailer, it is not on Thanos' gauntlet yet.
Right. You only see the blue and the purple.
Right. The Power Stone and the Tesseract or the...
Talk about some spoilers. Space. He said yet.
No, if you watch the rest of the films, you know. I got you. Right?
The Time Stone is green.
Right.
And then the Vision has the Mind Stone, which is
yellow. Right?
Okay. I'll make a GIF of the part of the trailer we're talking about, and we can tweet it out.
There you go.
And the Soul Stone, which they're all looking for, is supposed to be orange. So, I'm excited. Anyway.
Do we know who has the Soul Stone?
No one.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know.
We'll find out.
Right.
So they're fighting in Wakanda right now. The
yes, whole they are.
Just got taken down. Please die.
So,
Richard was desperately waving at me to pause instead of just saying pause.
So, a couple of things before we go on. You need to know and you need to see Thor Ragnarok, or you don't. It's up to you. Loki ends up giving Thanos the Tesseract or the Space Stone, which Thanos ends up breaking.
That's the thing he crushes in the in the trailer.
And he takes it and he puts it on his glove.
Yeah.
So if you watch Thor Ragnarok, he has to go and make sure Surtur comes back to life to destroy Asgard. And he looks at the Tesseract, and now we know that he took it. And he hid it from Thor, and they're all on the ship. So they saved most of the Asgardians. But it looks like Thanos went there and killed them.
And in the trailer, we also see Loki standing with the Black Order.
Correct? Well, actually, if you look at it, it's like this. One of the Black Order is holding a spear to his head.
Oh.
Oh, right. Shit. That's
so
a different deal.
Yeah. We don't know if Loki's going to end up dying in this. Or
he turn good, maybe?
Die in the comic?
I don't know. So, on that,
you're saying that I have to go see all of the Thors now?
Yeah.
Like, I know.
Don't watch 2. Watch 3. It's fantastic, and it will answer all your questions.
What is interesting about a Norse god as a superhero? I don't understand why
I should care about him. He's an alien, and they were posing as superheroes, and that's what was funny about like the whole thing.
So, yeah, I don't know. The Thor thing was awesome to me, too, but that's why I keep asking such stupid questions on this about this trailer, because I...
That's stupid questions.
It's a part of the MCU I've never been interested in going down.
This movie trailer looks like it's accessible to people who aren't super into like all of the background lore, right. I think. I don't know how well it would be approachable, but I kind of feel like if, you know... If like I can ask enough dumb questions and we can get some general understanding of it, a lot of people would find it approachable without having to watch all of the movies before.
It's not dumb questions. It's like, and I'll tell you, watch 3, skip 2,
watch Thor Ragnarok.
If you see that movie, it's very much that you see how Loki is starting to love his brother a little bit more. Well, so,
to Brad's point about like how people who don't really read the comics or watch all the movies can access this movie, go ahead and play. Mm-hmm. This joke has two meanings.
Yay.
I'm Peter, by the way.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, you're using your made-up names. Then I am Spider-Man.
So that's just a funny line on its head.
I feel like such a dummy now that I know that he was pointing this out to me. I'm like, oh, of course, Doug. I thought it was so funny.
Right. It's just like,
shout out Polly Washburn line on Twitter. Pointed this line out to me. I was like, that's so fucking good.
But also, if you know his name is actually Stephen Strange, he is giving him his real name.
Right.
Glass like shattering sound for all the dummies.
So the nerds get both sides of it as well.
Totally. But this is a movie, and I love that Marvel does it in such a way that they don't just make it for the nerds.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's relatable, and people can
It's
understand.
Accessible.
Yeah.
It looks like, to me, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Star-Lord, and Drax are all going to be on like Titan fighting with Spider-Man. And then you're going to see in Wakanda, they're all going to come together.
They're split up into teams, which I really like. A couple of things I kind of want to go over real quick is that the armor that Iron Man has, because it looks all corrupted, it's called Bleeding Edge Armor. And his armor is basically, it's nanotech, and it just forms around his body, and it can form into different types of suits. It's not just one suit anymore. It's different types of suits. And the other thing I want to talk about, in the comic books, Falcon was taken to Wakanda, or actually Black Panther took his wings and all of that, and he upgraded his armor.
Oh, so it's vibranium now?
Yeah, so that was really cool. I don't know if they're going to do that in a movie, but I really do hope so. And I just think it's kind of cool. Oh, and the other thing, Anthony Mackie said that...
No, that's the actor that plays Falcon.
Yes. Going to Wakanda was a bit bizarre and surreal. An experience because the whole thing of seeing an African nation left to its own devices
right.
just tripped him out. And I can't wait to see that, where he lands in Wakanda, gets off that ship, and is like, oh my God, this is what it could be.
So this movie's going to explore more of the city and what, like, Wakanda that we didn't get to see in Black Panther
Absolutely.
Is all about. Oh, that's
Absolutely.
Cool.
That's Which I'm really excited about, and I love Shuri.
Yeah.
And I love that she is going to, I think, and from what I see, is that she's going to separate the stone from Vision. And I love that. I love that Vision can retain who he is, but still have a bargaining chip. This is the stone that we have for Thanos.
Because we've seen in previous trailers him getting the stone removed. Looks like Thanos is
We don't know
it.
If it was removed. We know they tried to remove it.
Right. So I'm wondering what happens to him. Like,
I think they tried to remove it, and then after that, like, they flipped the fuck out, and then they ended up going to Wakanda, and it was like vibranium... They integrate magic as well as technology.
Right.
Let's do it. And Shuri can do this. She's the next Iron Man. I'm just saying.
Wait, speaking of Shuri and Iron Man, you said Iron Man's suit is made out of nanites. Isn't that the same stuff that makes Black Panther's suit as well, or no?
I think it's a little bit different.
Okay.
Especially since Shuri designed it versus him.
Okay, I thought Shuri might have helped out. I don't know if Tony's
not,
going to.
No, not with Bleeding Edge armor. It's like this. That's all Tony. So
I love the idea of Shuri coming in and becoming the like engineer of the superhero universe. She's like, oh, Tony Stark. No, oh, sorry.
I was just going to say the last thing I kind of heard in the rumors were that Shuri is going to end up either going to New York or Spider-Man was going to go to Wakanda.
Oh, boy.
Because now it's open and she's going to be a part of it and even help Spider-Man's Iron Spider armor become amazing.
I'm so fucking excited right now.
She's just as intelligent as Iron Man, if not more.
I'm good with that. I mean, also because Spider-Man is one of my favorite characters out of all this stuff.
I love Spider-Man.
You know, I know he's sort of like rote and old school, but I mean, like even the comic book series of Spider-Man and the stuff that they explored with like some of my favorite villains come from the Spider-Man universe. Like, and the way that his character always is just so like hilarious and snarky and sort of oblivious to the he's just a fucking rad character. I just always dig him.
Kid from Brooklyn.
Yeah, he's
right.
It's amazing. I'm really excited to see this movie. If you haven't heard, it's coming out April 27th. Got moved up from May 4th. So that's good stuff.
That's amazing.
So Disney now owns April and May because Solo's coming out.
So Nerd AF will be all Disney.
Yeah, why don't we get them just to sponsor shit?
Because then how would people trust our opinion on shit
if we're paid
by Disney? What I'm excited about is since Black Panther is just number one.
Yeah.
Still.
Crushing.
I would love for it to last right before Infinity War comes out. Ooh. So if people want to go to a movie theater, see Black Panther, you know, boom, go right into Infinity War. That would be amazing.
There is a movie theater in Colorado Springs that leading up to, I'm sure there's probably some movie theater in there.
They're playing all of them.
They're going to play the entire MCU. So if you want to go binge on, like, what is it?
Oh, we're going to go do that. I think we should do that.
I got the Blu-rays. I'm going to do it at my house.
Right?
We're going to do it at Richard's house. We're going to do wine and dabs.
Yeah, I like that idea better. Still an investment.
We can be in our pajamas. I'm just saying.
We're going to live stream the whole thing on Patreon.
All right, so basically, everyone wears a onesie. We all watch all of the. We got to get a different Marvel Universe onesie.
But I own so many onesies. Which one?
In someone's basement. We don't know whose. Like South Park style. We're just gonna be like, Mom, bathroom.
My friend Chad has a rainbow onesie. It's awesome.
Yeah, but we're not going rainbow. I'm saying we go like Marvel Universe onesies.
You're like, where you do a rainbow?
One of the big things in this movie, like everyone is excited for. Like, in talking about who's going to die, which superhero is going to end up dying. We know that Chris Evans, the guy who plays Captain America, his movie contract is coming to an end. Same thing with Robert Downey Jr., who plays Iron Man. So, Richard, get us started. Who do you think is going to die?
Jeez.
Oh, who do you want to die?
Like, I don't want anyone to die.
I want someone to die.
But if I have to think about this.
Yeah, there's people I want
to
die.
If I have to think about this logically, I think it's probably going to be Iron Man. Because he can make an AI version of himself, and he can be in the rest of movies, and doesn't have to like do it on a regular basis. Be actually in the movies, so. I think it might be Iron Man. I don't want that. I don't want any of them to die.
I mean, I want Iron Man to die and then not make an AI version of himself.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the world.
Yeah, I'd like him to die and not continue in the movies. That fucking guy sucks. Not a fan. Not a fan. Also, like, just some just rich asshole who's able to just buy his way into fucking superherodom. Ugh.
Like Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Like
not
Batman.
Like Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, he also has to invent in crazy technologies and be brilliant.
Yeah,
like,
or
I
he
mean,
could
like,
just put all that money into saving the world, dick. No, he's got to build toys. He can fly around.
He made the money here selling weapons first.
Exactly.
He got captured, and to save his life, he had to create this suit, and then he decided to do it.
Right? Yeah.
So I thought he's my
weapons dealer.
So dickhead.
I would like to see. Yeah. Who's done?
So I'm going to go completely the other way because I am Team Iron Man all the way. I love Iron Man. Right. So fuck Captain America, I hope he dies.
Why am I feel like I'm the only person who's trying to defend Tony Stark? Now he's on Team Iron Man all the way.
No, I'm still why do we have to kill Captain America? I'm still sore and sour from Civil War, man. Let me just talk to you, spit this real quick.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Iron Man is trying to like calm Captain America down, and Captain America is all in on saving his good friend Bucky, who. I presume everyone's seen Civil War is going around on a rampage spoiler. After he hears like 13 words in German or whatever. Right? And so, I don't know. I feel like it was just a little bit kind of sanctimonious of Captain America to take all that on, all that responsibility for taking care of Bucky, given all he had done. on himself and kind of like circumvent. I know they all circumvent the law, right. But that seemed like especially egregious to just kind of forgive all Bucky's sins and everyone has to forgive Bucky. And then Iron Man finds out this guy kills his parents. He can't like hit him with like a two-piece combo like Iron Man or Captain America's got to get in the way. Nah.
Right.
And so Iron Man almost beat both of them in Civil War, and I was hoping for
that.
Yeah,
he did.
But Bucky grabs his leg and then Captain America wins. So I'm hoping Cap dies.
Hey, Iron Man blew off his arm.
Did blow off Bucky's
Winter Soldier,
arm.
And guess what? And he went to Wakanda and got a new arm.
He got a new trailer.
Which is going to be better than Tony Stark's bullshit ass suit, right, is what right. I'm saying.
And speaking of that, of people healing up, War Machine is now walking.
Yes.
Again.
He is.
So.
I love me some Don Cheadle, so I don't want to.
Is he going to get.
Time out. Hugh, use your mic. Get back into your mic.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, yeah.
War Machine is now walking again, so is he going to get punched through? By Thanos, please like he does in the freaking comic.
No, because we love him.
Right. If that happens,
Wakanda,
he's just getting chill.
Make him, like, actually walk. We're tired of, like, this brace shit.
Can
it's
they
like
give
this.
Him a metal stomach, like a vibranium stomach?
I'm wondering how he's just...
My God.
Just a stomach replacement?
Exactly.
You can eat whatever you want.
Just a stomachotomy?
Now Thanos can't punch through. Yeah.
Right. It's like, no one can hurt me.
We're only so
me.
Far away from the vibranium abs workout. It's going to be chaos.
Vibranium workout.
So that is my very bitter take on why I want Captain America to die. Boom.
Let's bring it in.
He's
going
to get you an argument.
Wait, I want to. I'm okay. Let's for the people who don't necessarily even know, what's the lineup for the people who are eligible to die, let's say? Like, what are the big goodness. Players? Let's make the draft happen, Hawkeye. And I'll make my choice from that.
So Hawkeye. Iron Man, Captain America, both. We'll put them both in.
Okay.
Hawkeye, you're saying. I think War Machine
God, I hope
could
Hawkeye
be.
Dies, too. I hate that.
Vision Aww. Has to be in trouble, guys. Like,
he's in trouble. I don't think he's going to die, though.
I have written Vision Shuri. Off.
Shuri from Wakanda.
She's up to possibly die?
No. Oh. She's going to help Vision.
Oh, okay.
So,
God, I thought you were adding her to the list.
No.
Like, what the fuck?
No. Shuri's awesome.
Okay. Mm-mm. So Hawkeye, Captain America,
Iron Man
is our list.
We're saying War Machine. Vision.
Vision.
It's going to center a lot around Thor is what the rumblings are on Twitter.
I would love to see Thor die, but
so
I don't know how Thor dies.
Not yet. If he gets a new hammer, why would they kill him?
What does he add? What does he really do to progress the universe?
Oh, good question.
Like, why did you fucking kill Thor off? Let's move on with Wakanda.
What good does he
and,
bring?
Yeah, like, he's
really
done.
A
he's had his,
or is he
I feel like
a
he's
super
had his
power,
arc.
He's had three movies. You're done.
Yeah. Like, he's done.
So
yeah.
Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, out.
What were the Vikings known for? Let's raping and pillaging. He's
kill
a
everybody. Let's have a new MCU.
If you saw Thor Ragnarok, he's trying to do good. So,
I mean, trying to.
He saved his people.
Sounds like he needs to go to a halfway house.
Hey, now. He saved his
I feel like one of the Guardians of the Galaxy has to die, right? Like,
I think Nebula, if anyone from that group, is going to die. Yeah, she's totally going to. Because she is a daughter of Thanos.
Right.
She wants to kill him. If you saw Guardians 2.
But so is Gamora. So like, why her over Gamora for those reasons?
Because Gamora is popular. And he is also... She is also... Thanos' favorite daughter.
Got it.
So I think it would be harder for him. Yeah, it would be harder for him because we saw baby Gamora.
Yep.
It'd be harder for him to kill her than Nebula. He's always, every time Gamora has beat Nebula, he's like, it's your arm. Let's replace that. It's your arm. Let's replace that. And if you watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
I didn't.
She hated, that's all right. But she hated Gamora because it's like, every time you beat me, I got something replaced to make
me
stronger. And I think it's probably going to be her if anyone gets killed in that.
So she's like a mecha armor person now.
So once she dies, then she's got to get another replacement?
Say it again.
Once she dies, she's got to get another replacement?
No, I think she dead.
She got
like, bye-bye. Have a good night.
That joke's up.
Right, yeah.
That was a
that's
womp
it.
Womp.
So after hearing the list, I'm going to stick with I would love to see Captain America be the person to die. Although
see,
Tony
I
Stark
think,
is the one I expect to
die,
see.
Die,
I think he's the most
replaceable. One second, Richard. You got 30 seconds to make an appeal for Captain America to survive.
Oh, and I'm going to
give him a lot of you can appeal to Vince here. You can tell him why Captain America is a defender of social justice and equity right now. Just give him 30-second, real quick,
30
synopsis
seconds
as
on
to
the
why
clock.
Captain America should live. Go.
Defend Captain
okay,
America.
Captain America should live because he hit Nazis and he's like awesome.
Oh,
I guess I'm punching Nazis.
And I'm done.
You're slipping off the slope.
You have 20
and
seconds left.
He should die, I guess. Oh, wow. I can't. It's like this. Right, he beat Nazis. He beat Nazis. I can't.
I mean, didn't he also like help inner city kids? Like, I remember seeing old...
in the comic books.
Yeah, old comic books. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, pull some lore. Go, go, go. Right. Oh, he died.
So in less than 30 seconds, Richard convinced himself to kill Captain America.
Well, to be fair, though, I would say the same thing for Iron Man. Like, keeping it within the MCU and the movies here, okay. They've completed their story arcs.
Yeah.
They've been marketed. They've been in every movie. Like,
contracts are up.
Contracts are up. It's time to go.
Yeah, there's logistics behind like, this beyond.
Right, we're talking about Captain Marvel coming out and like phase four and all this stuff. And it's going to be.
Yeah.
And
so
both of them will probably have to die. And I'm okay with both of them dying as long as Cap's death is more gruesome. There
we go. Hey everybody, this episode is brought to us by F420 Films. These are the guys who also produce the podcast and are personal friends of mine. F420 is a really great video production company. They're basically 420 friendly branded storytelling that comes from the minds of these two photojournalists I worked with at the Denver Post, Vince Chandler and Andy Caldwell, both produce the show here. When it really comes to like doing good quality video production, you know, it often comes off cheesy. Really, companies shouldn't rely on themselves to tell their own stories. They should rely on content producers who know how to actually tell good stories to do this for them. And I've worked with Vince and Andy at F420 a number of times on my own projects. I'm going to continue to hire them anywhere else I go because I know that they know how to tell stories the way I do. So definitely go check out F420 Films. You can find them online at F420 Films. It's pretty easy to find them there. And check out some of the stuff they've already done. It's really kind of breathtaking work, and they're my buddies, so I know that you're going to be happy working with them. No nepotism whatsoever involved in this plug.
And welcome back to Nerd AF. I'm Hugh Johnson with Richard Williams, Brad Bogus, and producer Vince.
Oh, hey.
Yo, yo, yo. So right now we're going to talk about a segment we're going to call Trilogy Lulls. Oh, that's not like lulls as in LOLZ. That's like lulls as in LOLZ.
Oh, yeah, we have to specify, right? 2018, everybody, where lulls is no
lulls,
longer just
right. That's why my high brain could not piece apart what that was supposed to be about. I was like,
we just spent 10
lulls?
Minutes during the break trying to explain to Stone to Brad exactly what we're going to do here.
So, Vince, this is kind of your topic, so why don't you get it started?
Absolutely. I love talking about this because I feel like the way that we're consuming media has changed so much, especially in the binge culture where things are created for 8-episode season arcs on Netflix, and cinema is even doing it and following suit. Movies are creating 14-hour epics that are meant to be consumed from start to beginning as a 14-hour epic. Lord of the Rings, you know, was a really great example of that. The Harry Potter franchise, even things like Twilight, Hunger Games, and now the Star Wars and MCU, like that's even transcended mediums onto streaming television on Netflix, and even air over the air broadcast television has allowed it into the new medium. And so I feel like we're seeing people zero in on tiny details within this big epic saga that they tear apart because we're used to consuming things episodically, but we're not allowing it to speak itself out. And it's kind of like you read a book halfway through and throw it against the wall and go, this is fucking garbage. Like, I don't even care where it goes because of this one detail in this one chapter I disagree with.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's been on my brain a lot lately.
Yeah, I definitely am indicative of doing that with Star Wars. And I think it's because, like, I've always, like, if I really love some content, I don't think there's a length to which there is too much. You know what I mean? Like, I've always been really into, you know, like, I remember growing up, Braveheart was one of my favorite movies, and everyone was like, God, that's such a long movie. And I was like, I don't really think it's that long. I just love watching it so much that, you know, the length is not that big a deal.
Was Braveheart a new movie when you were growing up?
Yeah, I'm old as fuck.
Amazing.
And so, boom. Yeah.
Oh,
and so, like, you know, there's now this, like, you know, kind of extended series episodic kind of approach to content, which is if I really like something, I pretty much can't get enough of it. But because I was keyed in on this, like, long form, you know, like, one movie sort of content package that I grew up on, I do pick apart everything about Star Wars. Like, I remember when The Last Jedi came out, I was not happy. And took it apart in a lot of different ways, some of which, you know, a lot of people agree with, some of which they will argue with, like Richard. But
he's at Brad Bogus on everything. Get at him, y'all.
That's right.
About to be. What is it?
I ain't scared about any controversy. Bring him my way. Let's do this shit.
And we'll bring Matrango back on the show.
That's right.
With Brad next time he's in town.
Oh, yeah, because he and I could probably butt heads a bit on Last Jedi. I think there was some shit that was just unconscionable that was done in that movie.
Mary Poppins.
Exactly.
Every time you're in town, Matrango will be your guest.
But I did pick it apart, and I have a lot of the things that I was criticizing, people kept telling me, wait till the next movie, wait till the next movie. You don't know if they're going to get it done in the third one. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess. Yeah, on those points, you know, I have to concede because it is kind of a true point. You know, you have to wait till the whole thing's finished.
And the same thing is happening in gaming. I grew up where, you know, you'd spend $40, $50, $60 on a game and that'd be it.
Yep.
And now it's all about the DLC. It's all about the expansion packs.
The micro purchases. Well,
like, microtransactions. Like, it's called games of service now where, you know, you're just, and if the content's good enough, people will shell out the money.
Yep.
Destiny's having this issue right now of, like, just kind of what to do when, you're no longer giving out content people want, and people are kind of like rejecting this notion that they have to keep paying for stuff that they really already own, and you're not giving me a good benefit for what I'm getting back. One thing I can think of is Final Fantasy 15. I've always played a Final Fantasy game. Like, it's from beginning to end. It's got all the bells and whistles, everything I need. Now, certain ones are better than others. That's always been it. Exactly. But this last one was just, it felt incomplete. The story was kind of Like, and I know some nerds will call me out. Sorry. I shouldn't use that as a...
I feel like we should have an alarm go off every time somebody says nerd. Like, oh, that's Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Word of the day!
I feel like some like hardcore guys will call me out and say, well, you know, you didn't just pay attention to the details. You just kind of played through the game. I'm a minimalist in gaming as a gamer, and we'll get to why that is in a later segment. But in all these Final Fantasies I've played, it's been a complete storyline. And like, in this one, in Final Fantasy 15, there are parts of the game that were omitted purposefully for DLC. And you kind of see parts of the story in the DLC. And it's just like, you're already expected to shell out $60 for the base game. Now you got to shell out. I mean, the DLC doesn't cost much. Each one they've released three is like $5 plus the multiplayer game is $20.
But do you do it?
But I paid $5 for each of the
Can
DLCs.
You imagine?
So I've spent $75. And so they keep making money. And I think it's the same thing with...
Are they doing it like as a hokey as a way at like peak 3D movie when you couldn't go see 2D movies anymore because there was just obnoxious audience grabbing shit that was like, oh, this is obviously shot only for the 3D audience. Like, is it in your face? Like, you can't not get around needing the DLC? Or is it just
some things are like there's a whole storyline like dedicated to a DLC, and you'll follow a quest a few steps of the way, and then you get to the point, it's like, to enter, like for ESO, for instance, Elder Scrolls, it's like the Clockwork City storyline is a DLC, but you don't know it going into it, and so you go and you do this whole storyline, and then you get to this point, and it's like, to continue, get the DLC package.
And a bad one is what I talked about Destiny 2, what they did. Like, at the end of the original game, you could play what's called a raid, that's like kind of their big six-person puzzle.
Okay.
And, you know, that's hours on end, really, of you guys just like kind of going through this level and figuring out all these puzzles and stuff. There used to be a prestige raid, or there is a prestige raid that's hard harder than the normal raid. Well, once the DLC content came out, the level cap went up. And so at first, people who already owned the game and owned that like prestige raid couldn't do the normal prestige raid because they didn't have a high enough level cap and they couldn't access those higher levels without having the DLC. So it was like a huge problem within the community.
Yeah.
Eventually, Activision, Bungie, or Bungie's developer, so it's just them, but Bungie took care of the issue. But
right.
Like it's just like that sort of thing, like constantly bleeding the consumer for more. Like,
well, and I'll tell you what I hate. Injustice 2, you have to buy, like, of course, the people who did it did, like, Mortal Kombat.
Right.
So you have to buy a Mortal Kombat person, like Raiden, and then his skin is Black Lightning.
Ooh.
That pisses me off. Right. I'm like, I just want Black Lightning. Right. I don't want Raiden.
Right. Like, I would like to buy the character, please. Right.
You know what I really wonder is if like this sort of monetization of content in video gaming crosses over at any point into like movie and television and episodic content. Like, can you imagine this being Star Wars or Harry Potter and like you're consuming a story and it's like you get to Han Solo and you're like, you want to know the background of Han Solo, or you want to know where the Sorcerer's Stone came from, and you want to know all that there is about. We have more content for that, but it's a DLC, right? So you DLC the Han Solo film, or you know what I mean? Sort of like
you're kind
of
doing it in a different way with the parts one and two. You know, like at the end of Harry Potter, it's like Harry Potter Deathly Hallows Part One,
right?
You
want
to know how Voldemort gets killed? Yeah. Now you have to see another movie. We get another box office hit, and we extend the series one more. Like, I mean, how they extrapolated the ever loving fuck out of The Hobbit
to
make it three movies?
Yeah,
oh, I mean, they did. Yeah,
that was actually like so painful for me as a Lord of the Rings nerd because the thing that I was giving them room for in having done that was this echoes within the nerd echo chamber around Lord of the Rings that they were going to like stitch in the Silmarillion, which is essentially like, think of it as Lord of the Rings Bible. It talks about the time of creation for Middle Earth, and like it's super crazy and awesome, but there's like all these different disparate old ancient stories that were supposed to be like sewn into The Hobbit.
And Brad is explaining it because they did not stitch it in.
Fucking didn't. And it was I mean, you know, there was like barely something there. And those movies were a total fucking letdown.
All of them?
The Hobbit movies?
All of them.
I mean, they had moments that I was kind of like, that's cool. I liked like the Smaug cave.
Smaug was a good movie, I thought.
They were relatively enjoyable. They just let me down. They weren't the original trilogy, you know what I mean?
They extended versions?
Still, it's just like, I don't know.
Speaking of extended versions, I mean, that was kind of the original DLC. I mean, we've been seeing it since the DVD era back in the day when you would go buy. I mean, I still have them on my shelf.
I've got all the DLCs on the
super supreme extra Blu-ray edition.
That's right. They look like books on your shelf.
I have all of them. Yeah, like the extended ones.
Totally.
I will never stop investing in extended version Harry Potter Blu-rays.
No doubt.
And
all the documentaries that come with it. I learned so much about the Tolkien universe just through those special features, and it's great.
This DLC show that you're pretty much listening to of extended to talk about the universe a little bit more.
You know, one thing that I think is like a total lull is The Walking Dead. That was a series that started, in my opinion,
I have never made it past the first
such
season.
A strong original position. I think arguably seasons 1 through 4. Even maybe 5 were really great. That show has fucking died. You want to talk about dead character arcs? Oh my god, there's so many characters that continue on the show. They don't have the balls to kill them for whatever reason. And anyway, it's something that I just continue to watch for some reason, even though I want to get out of it. But I'm so committed to it that I kind of keep watching
play
it
into
down.
The game today really
I'm the
well.
Same way. No, I'm the same way. I've seen every freaking episode. And like when Carl died, spoiler.
We are not
spoiler king.
It upset me.
Yeah.
I had to stop watching Homeland It's like, yeah, what was it? It's not HBO. What's the other one? Star?
Showtime.
Showtime, thank you.
When did you stop? Because I stopped after, too. I wonder.
After the main story of Homeland is a POW soldier comes back from like being in prison, like he's been found after 10 years. But people are worried, like in the intelligence agencies, that he might be a double agent for a terrorist organization.
I love that.
After that guy dies, it takes about 3 seasons.
Yeah.
You know, spoiler alert, but it's a really old show. It takes about 3 seasons. Toots. Like, this show should not exist. Like,
right.
No, seriously.
That's where you came in. That's why I like anime. Man. 26 episodes, 52 episodes, bye.
Yeah. Like, a lot of BBC shows, or just really most British TV shows, tend to know when to end it. You know what I mean? Right. And I wish that The Walking Dead had learned that. Yeah, you know, you can even maybe arguably get 5 or 6 seasons out of something, but that's really stretching some content.
Like they're pushing Sherlock. They pushed like Breaking Bad 2 seasons too far.
That's right.
Like there's
that's
such a season, like mid-series lull in there. That's just like, Sherlock. Just if you Sherlock. Only invested in 3 years of this, you don't need to stretch it for 5.
Absolutely right,
like,
yeah.
That's a series that, yeah.
The thing for me is like if you're going to have a show go that many seasons, I want it to be meticulously pre-written. I want there to be a reason it's going that long. I want it to have been like figured out from start to finish. I want the creators to have written every single new season on intentionally, because if that's the case, like what you're getting is a holistic complete piece of art drawn out over 8 seasons. What happens with most TV shows and most episodic series, and even now with movies and trilogies, is that you get people just stretching it along because they know there's some audience behind it, and they can continue to make money, and so they keep making more for no reason, and they just like stretch out character arcs past their life cycle, and it's awful.
Well, I have to say, like, the one show I absolutely love is The Strain by Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, okay.
And I love this show. It's about vampires, but it's about, they do it in such a way where vampires are a disease.
Yeah.
And it just starts to spread. And he literally said, this is 3 to 4 seasons. And he stopped.
Yeah.
And he ended it.
Perfect.
And I was like, no, but I want more. But that's the greedy part of me.
Yeah.
Right.
But he did right. I mean, the story arc, and I collected like the comic books, all of it.
Yeah.
He did the right thing.
Yeah.
And he ended it. And I'm like, fantastic.
Penny Dreadful.
Bringing it back.
No! Sorry. No! One more season of Penny Dreadful.
No, man. They ended when they needed to.
Bringing it back to movies. Look at Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm kind of worried they're going to do this with Star Wars.
They are doing this with Star Wars, too. They are doing this with Star Wars.
Well, the interesting thing about Star Wars is, like, my...
3 was enough Pirates. Like, I actually liked 4. I can't, like...
I mean, were you a fan? They were all available when my baby was being delivered in the hospital while my wife was having our baby, and so we just binged every Pirates, like all 17 of them, wherever they are, and they were perfect for that like sleep deprived 48 hours of our life. Like, I'm so happy there's so many of them.
What's interesting about the Star Wars thing is that my dad's really old. He was born in 1929, right, and so like. I remember when he was, you know, obviously like well into his adult years in his 50s when all of the Star Wars things were happening originally. I was born in 1980, and I remember him telling me, even when I was a kid, there was going to be 9 Star Wars films, even though there was at the time only 3. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, George Lucas declared publicly, like when he launched this whole project, that he was going to make 9 of them. He was going to go 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9.
He did not say he was going to make 1, 2, or 3, fuck up 1, 2, 3 again, fuck it up one more time, and then start adding to the trilogy, and then bail before the next.
Totally.
This was
his original declaration, right? But like,
according to Matranga, the last 20 minutes or 30 minutes of 3?
That's right.
Premium.
I agree too. By the way,
I would say Revenge of the Sith.
But it was originally this intended 9 movie package, and if Lucas had been able to, like, I don't know, make them all at that point in time, maybe it would have been something. But like, obviously, we know all the fucking problems that occurred along that path. And now that these like main 3 were being completed, it almost seemed like that legacy was going to complete. And then now there's Disney, so we're going to see the whole thing fractured into all sorts of DLC. You know what I mean?
So let's move on to Annihilation, the film with Natalie Portman. It's a nice little sci-fi flick. Really makes you think. So, like, brief synopsis.
Yeah,
here.
Please. Yeah.
The purpose of the movie is that, like, some extraterrestrial, like, thing crashes into this lighthouse.
Yes.
And we are then introduced to Natalie Portman's character, who is a biologist at a university. she goes home. She's been mourning the loss of her husband, who's in the military. He's been missing in action for, like, at least a year, correct? Yeah. And as she's painting the room, he mysteriously comes back. He's not himself, though. And then he starts coughing up blood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she's rushed. He's rushed to the hospital. On their way to the hospital, like, she's surrounded by, like, this, like, secret government agency. They're taken to a place, and then they explain what's going on. This guy's been in this shimmer for a while, and they don't know what it does. It scrambles all frequency. No one's come back. He's the only person to come back. And so she links up with four other scientists, a paramedic, a geologist, a psychiatrist, and a physicist.
Right.
And they all go in looking for this lighthouse, in hopes of kind of trying to find out what happens.
Got it.
So, Natalie Portman said, like, echoes are a big thing in the movie. So it's revealed in the movie later on that the shimmer acts as, like, something that kind of refracts, not just light, but everything. So it refracts DNA.
It's like a prism.
It's like a prism, exactly.
Like, putting that out there, it's a prism. And also, what does she do? She deals with cells.
Right.
That's what her specialty is, and that's why
Natalie
she's
Portman's character.
Natalie Portman, and
Lena.
It's so interesting in the fact that,
it's so interesting in what fact? Yeah, I was like ready to hear what it was, and then you just abandoned it.
It's interesting because I'm gonna ruin it.
Yeah,
like
we're already saying.
Okay,
at
the end of the film, it deals with copies of. Maybe Natalie Portman, maybe her husband.
Definitely her husband.
Yeah.
He's an alien copy. Yep.
I'm trying
so that's
not
like,
to.
That's
like,
a, that's a wrap up.
I'm trying not to completely ruin
like, there's echoes of everything. There's echoes of people.
If you're watching
almost
like a multiverse, or like there, this is like the like almost like pod people, like the aliens kind of.
No. They are who they are, and it's like they take everything from you, like whoever you are, like Brad, a copy of Brad.
Yeah,
it is you,
right?
But it's through a prism, refracted, and it can be different.
I was gonna say, does that change the shade of the person then? Or?
There you go, absolutely.
Well,
I think, go ahead.
Parts of it are changed, like so. Her husband, Natalie Portman's character, when he's speaking, we hear, like, for the final time. So, I'll just full spoil this for you.
Go for it.
All right.
Thank God.
So, full spoiler.
Sorry, guys.
Finally happening.
Sorry.
Full spoiler is Natalie Portman makes it to the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
She watches a video in which she sees her husband blow himself up with a phosphorus grenade talking to someone who looks exactly like her husband.
Exactly, yeah.
So, the only difference is he kind of has a southern twang.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had that in the scenes that we've seen
her
remember him.
Yeah.
And he didn't have it when, of course, the clone came back and he was the one who was coughing up blood.
Yeah.
So a lot of this, just to get into like the kind of the underneath layer of it, is just about, for me at least, the key is just he talked about cells. It's about cancer. And that comes up a lot throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and it's about like.
One of the characters had cancer.
Psychiatrist has cancer. And it's about how humans like self destruct.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the big things. So not only do we do it at like a cellular level, like our cells age and decay, and she makes mention of that, Natalie Portman character does in the movie. But also we do it, I thought it was interesting, we do it at a psychological level too. Because one of the things that we're seeing is all the five women are broken in some way.
Yes.
Yeah.
They one struggles with suicide, but suicidal tendencies. One has cancer, like we said, the psychiatrist. One has her daughter died, and so she feels like her life is over. and Natalie Portman's character cheated on her husband, and she's ruined her marriage. So there's like this idea of, like, on a biological level, you're ruining, like, these cells are ruining themselves, and also the way you think.
Like,
you impulsively, you're ruining, like, good things for yourself.
Human self-destruct.
So it's a lot of, it's a lot about human self-destruction. It's a weird movie. Like, I'm an action guy. You know me. I love my Dragon Ball. I want to see box, baby.
It's beautiful.
But I had to do some thinking after this one. It's not necessarily something I'd watch over and over again. But
so human deconstruction, right? Is the our psyches, our person, physically, mentally, spiritually.
Right.
We are
that's my take. On
that's deconstruction. Who we are. And you know what? I'm like you. I will watch it 12, 15 times.
Right.
I just thought it was beautiful. The way that it just shows that whatever who we are, we can be better people or not.
Right.
And it's your decision.
That's huge.
Except for like the cellular, you know, part of it. It's that's what you were born with. Right. And it's like, but also it's like, what are you going to do with that? You have cancer? Are you going to just like sit back and just die? Or are you going to do something with your life and help people and move forward?
See, and one of the characters, like actually, like when you're faced in this shimmer, you start to change physically.
Yes.
Like your fingerprints start moving,
your blood,
your intestines, like you can see these changes happening and it trips people out.
Yeah.
That's just like,
horrific and
from a
beautiful.
Metaphorical standpoint, like what does it mean, like when your life is changing, like how do you face it? How do you face this monster that in some cases you've created?
Yes.
And like one of the characters just says, you want to fight it, you want to confront it, I don't think that's the way, I'm just going to join it, I'm just going to submit.
Right.
And then she, you know, disappears and gives herself up to the shimmer in one way.
Yeah.
And the climax is when Natalie Portman's character is faced with her duplicate, as Richard said. And it's an exact mirror. It mirrors all the things she does. So when she goes to punch it, it senses her intention, then it punches her.
Right, exactly.
As she tries to escape, and there's a door, like they're in a room, it smushes her against the door, like which is kind of like the weight of her own actions, like suffocating her. So she kind of has to back up, like accept it.
And look at it and touch it.
I won't spoil what happens after
that.
Oh, shit, dude. Brad and I have both inched so close to our microphones. Our jaws are at the floor like, we need to fucking see this movie.
I mean, it's like, weird one. For me, like, science fiction can be a lot of hit or miss, but, like, some of my favorite content is science fiction that is, like, very thought-provoking, very unique, you know, that deals with something that leaves you just like, what the fuck did I just watch? I need to take that in like a number of times.
Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When I told you about it, I was like, you gotta watch Signal.
Right. Interstellar, I remember, was one of the better pieces I've seen in a long time. I mean, like, literally, you see a fourth dimension in that movie. I've never seen any movie attack that.
Right.
And the manipulation of time through string theory. I mean, like, there was some really heady shit going on in Interstellar. It took a lot of times to watch it. So, you know, I remember Ex Machina was so fantastic for that reason as well.
Yes.
This sounds like it's... is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, then this is going to be
a fucking winner.
You're
like, I'm going to see it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would have seen it if I hadn't been flown out to Seattle this last week, but...
I don't want to talk about Brad traveling yet.
None of us
do. We're not talking about Force Ghost Brad. That's what it was.
That's right.
Right. You're not Force Ghost yet.
We do have to pay homage to the great Stephen Hawking, passed away age 76. So we would not be a proper nerd podcast if we did not recognize this.
Man, that dude was fucking everything. Like, it's unbelievable the things that man was able to accomplish when you consider the fact that, like, he literally was just a brain in a sack of flesh.
Oh, my God, I was about to say, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
no. He had absolutely nothing, and that dude never stopped. Like, we understand so much about our own world, let alone the universe, because of shit that he accomplished. I mean, he was able to say his favorite equation in all time was an equation he discovered. You know what I mean? Like, who can say that? This is a man who's been bound to a wheelchair since 20-something.
He got props. Named after him.
Yeah. I mean, just, anytime that we feel like we're held back by something, you know, we should think about this guy because, there's nothing that's too hard for us to deal with when he could do all that shit and give us all of that knowledge. I mean, dude, I can't wait to read more of his stuff. I'm just like fascinated by him now.
He was a firm believer in aliens, which I always have loved.
And but it seriously, mind over matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that. Anyway, go ahead.
The coolest thing I saw him do was the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. You know? Because I believe he actually is like probably the most notable person suffering from ALS.
That's right.
Who had suffered. So like,
I did not see that.
See him do that was cool.
I did not see that. Yeah. I mean, like everything that he says when you see him speaking in public, he's doing through eye twitches and cheek twitches. Through some sort of modified speaking spell. Like, what the fuck?
And he used the same modified speaking spell technology so that he could actually have a robot pull the ice bucket for him. So, like, he actually pulled it on himself using a program.
Wow.
Yeah, for the video, right? Like, I'm remembering that, right?
Yeah.
That's like, amazing. I remember him doing it himself somehow and it being like a, yeah, it was.
You're right.
Everything is close to just having you make a thought and a computer respond. Like, it's as close as you can get to it. You know what I mean?
He voiced himself on Family Guy, too, which I always thought was fucking cool. Like, he did Simpsons, too. He celebrity voiced himself on a lot.
He was on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, he leaned into the pop culture and it was part of it.
I think he was on Star Trek, though. They get like a hologram of him.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, yeah, he engaged himself in the active, like he wanted the entertainment industry to focus on science and things too, which I always thought was really rad about him.
I just recently listened to Star Talk Radio's podcast episode where they kind of it was dedicated to Stephen Hawking, and they go back and Neil deGrasse Tyson was interviewing him. I highly suggest everyone listen to that episode.
God, I love
it. Was really cool, and he asked
Neil,
some,
if you
like,
ever want to be on the show, come on, bro.
No doubt.
We love you.
You take on Kyrie Irving and tell him why the world's not flat.
I'm so happy that came back. Thank you, Hugh.
We're now into the final part of our podcast. It's the game of the day, and it's called Completionist Conundrum. Ooh. Producer Vince, you made up this game, so go ahead and tell our audience.
I'm excited about it. So one of my favorite things about nerds and hanging out with people who really love diving deep on shit is their refusal to abandon a subject halfway through. And I feel like that really
the bell rings.
That's why we have the bells. We will fucking sit here for 9 hours before we ever stop talking something. But it translates into movies, into film, into books, into everything that we will be watching or reading, just a total piece of garbage. And it'll turn into a rage watching scenario in the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Or you'll just numbingly watch it to the face and then look at your friend that you're watching, your partner, and be like, I need that 2, 3, 17 hours back of my life. Mm-hmm. And I think that the game this week, Completionist Conundrum, is just what is your worst case scenario that you've had to complete, or if you want to imagine one that would force you, like you would like, this is so interesting to me that no matter how bad it was, I would watch it. What is your completionist conundrum?
That's kind of like Prison Break for me. Like, talk about series that have gone beyond. Come on. After the first series, they did not need to turn that into
it. I didn't watch it. So that's why I'm like,
really? Oh, no.
I was thinking about starting it, but now I'm like,
it was going down for a second there.
I'm okay.
No. Go ahead.
The Mist. The TV series, not the movie. The movie was amazing. The TV series was the biggest waste of time. I'm so angry. Yeah. I watched every episode. And I didn't just watch it. I bought them.
That's tough.
I hate this show. I'm sorry.
I already showed my hand earlier, but The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead, I continue to watch for no fucking reason. I watch the episodes and I'm making fun of them while I'm watching them, and then I'm done watching them and I was like, that was a piece of shit. And I continue to watch it every day. And you know what's even worse than The Walking Dead? Fear the Walking Dead. I literally rage watch Fear the Walking Dead. That series was even worse, and I wanted it to be so good because it had such a better like potential cast makeup.
Patient Zero,
but
dude.
God, the acting is trash.
It's not that bad.
Oh, it is that bad.
No, like it's Patient that Zero bad. Was. Come on,
dude. It's
like,
Walking Dead's got bad enough. See... Fear the Walking Dead was the B team, and they literally treated it that way. That was
just... they're about to intersect. Just so you know.
Ugh, that's great. Yeah, let's just keep feeding those.
Trash
yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, it's the difference between trash and garbage.
I don't hate Fear the Walking Dead. It gets on my nerves sometimes, but I don't hate it like
you. I'm
not
sure. What do you like about it?
I think because...
In less than 30 seconds, he's going to talk himself out and hating it. Watch.
Yeah,
I'm putting the timer on the clock.
Don't you ever touch me again.
Hashtag team. Hashtag team Iron Man.
God dang it. So it's like, I don't even know what the fucking
17 seconds.
Oh, God damn it. So it's like this. Oh my God, because it was the beginning.
Because this is the beginning.
Done.
Just because it started at the beginning, it's good.
Well, you gave me less than GD seconds. It's like this. No, I really do like it. I hate you.
Richard wants history and everything.
All right, so when it comes to bad content, I will always watch. I will almost always watch history content, and a lot of times it's badly acted, and it's like also sometimes a lot of British accents in like Rome, which doesn't make sense, and nonsense.
A lot of white people in Rome, which doesn't
if I know that the history is somewhat sound, I will watch through really bad content just to, I don't know, because I like period stuff. Like if it's like, you know, you're wearing the old garb and like, you know, doing anything historical in any part of the world, like I just like historical content.
I'm there with you. I want to hear Hughes though.
So one thing I watched,
let it be, oh, to watch, I thought it was a good game.
I was saying Prison Break. I don't know if has anyone seen that show.
I haven't. No,
it's
sorry.
About someone breaking out of prison, ironically.
Oh, really?
Oh, surprise.
I judged that Brothers, book by yes. that cover. Right.
Somehow they made that go that four much. Seasons. They brought it back for like a lost movie, and now I think they tried to bring it back just a couple years ago. Maybe it's still going on. I don't know.
They tried.
But here's something I did that I will never do again, and that's Super Mario 64, legendary game. I got 120 stars in this motherfucker. I went all around the castle, into every painting, getting every star. I collected every fucking red coin in that game.
My wife is in the other room, and she's trying to finish this game right now, and she's going to be wrecked by this spoiler when she hears it.
Right? I had to go to... whatever lengths to get them all. Because I heard that Yoshi, and I'm a big fan of Super Mario World and Super Mario World 2, both featuring Yoshi, especially Super Mario World 2 because it's on Yoshi's Island. So I'm a huge Yoshi fan. What happened? I get up onto that castle, shoot myself in the cannon, ready to see Yoshi. Yoshi in 3D. Oh, he looks so cool, bro. I talk to Yoshi. I'm like, all right, let's go on this adventure. Let's go. I get 100 lives or whatever. And a nice triple jump that sparkles when I do my little triple jump. I don't get to ride Yoshi ever. Ever.
Do you live for the new Super Mario Bros. On Wii, where like you break Yoshi out of boxes and get to ride it in 3D all over the fucking map?
That's cool.
But you don't get to
I never completed another Mario game again to 100%.
Really?
No. F that.
Ever?
No.
Oh,
no.
Oh,
you screwed me, Yoshi.
I can't believe you never went back.
You screwed me.
Like, I can't stop laughing.
He wants to ride Yoshi.
All right, who doesn't want to ride Yoshi? First off, he's so rideable.
Like he was the best in Super Smash Bros. Melee. Like,
have you ever played a game of Mario Kart where it didn't start over somebody in the room fighting over who got to drive as Yoshi?
I raced Yoshi all the time.
Yeah, because everybody wants to ride Yoshi.
And this is Yoshi. Shout out, by the way. Shout out to Mario Aces, Super Mario Aces, Mario Tennis coming out for Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Shout out to that.
I love Mario games.
But yeah.
Man.
Play Mario in tennis, in golf, in Smash Bros.
I can't
wait. When you play Mario in tennis, do you only play 17 holes?
I'm sorry. I play
in golf, do you only play 17 holes, though? Because you never finish Mario.
I never finished Mario. No, I'll finish that. But, like, 100% completion, no thank you. No, I'm good. I'm out.
So, like, you get to the end of the game, and they just give you some lives and some triple jump, and then they're like, what, play the game again? Now you got
this sparkle.
Stuff?
You sparkle, bro. He sparkled when you do a triple dump.
They were waiting for the DLC on the
N64. You do a little extra bounce. The DLC on Mario 64. That's hilarious.
I'm not surprised that Wii hasn't come out yet. Game,
what game were you upset? Like, you're like, oh no, this did not just happen.
Borderlands.
Borderlands
never ended, really. But like when I found out that I had finished the actual like game scenario, I was so disappointed in
yeah.
it. But I want to hear Brad's. Yeah,
I was just trying to think. I was hoping you had more to say so I could think about. Because I was just throwing it on the spot. I was like, shit, I don't have an answer for that. You know, I'll tell you. All right, so back in the day, there was a video game series that I loved, and I feel like it fell off the rails a bit, and I still kept playing it, even though it was just because of the story. But it was back on PlayStation. It was the Blood Omen series. Legacy of Kain.
Oh my god, I played that.
Yes. So it started with Legacy of Kain, Blood Omen, and then Soul Reaver, which was my favorite.
Oh my god!
And then yeah, dude. These games.
Okay, that was my hold shit. On. Just looking at Richard's face right now. tweet us at right. Nerd AF Show.
Get with us.
I think we should start a Twitch excited. Channel where we play one of these original games and broadcast just Richard's reaction faces of us playing the game. Because you need to see what
Legacy
is happening right now.
Was the
yeah.
shit.
That was all my shit.
Richard's a character of himself.
And really, the Soul Reaver storyline was the best. But then, like, they kept going into Blood Omen 2, and then, like, you know, like the further Legacy of Kain shit I didn't like. But I kept playing it because I was like, I'm so into this. But it's like this really cool vampire series, right. and the way that it explored it was one of the coolest explorations of the vampire, you know, sort of universe I've ever seen. That was pretty rad. But it fell off, of course, as all things do, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
All things come to an end. All so good things, including this podcast.
Oh no!
It's time for plugs. Plugs.
Castlevania on Netflix.
Out. That's it. He just was like,
and Jessica Jones.
And Jessica Jones.
Richard, you can say like 18 words if you want to. We
on Netflix.
Richard out.
I'm gonna watch Rebels from the start.
Us one more time and say, as we go around the table and do plugs, mention social media handles that you want to plug. So let's say Hugh's going to call for plugs one more time. Mention socials and how people can get in touch with you individually.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So let's start. Okay. If on anything you want them to have, like if you want them to see your Instagram or anything,
all right.
Plug it. So Hugh, back to you.
Yo, let's get these plugs.
Oh shit! Okay. I already know who's going first.
I am Storm 78704, and all my Austin friends know what that means. On Instagram and on
Twitter.
Thank you.
Is that a zip code?
It is. Yes.
Okay, oh, I counted. Okay.
It is.
I thought that was so close to 707.
Yeah, zip code. Or also you it can
go,
be.
You could go straight to hell.
You could be the protector. Oh, no! We're from the 04.
So it's like if I made mine Vinny Chant 90210. What else? Is
yes,
that what
exactly,
it is?
Exactly.
I was so like,
why Storm?
So-co. Because that's my girl.
That's your girl. All right. So what are you nerding out about this week, Richard?
I am Castlevania. I'm excited. Season 2 of Castlevania is coming out.
On
and
Netflix.
Jessica Jones on Netflix.
Which is also in Season 2.
All right. Season 2 is coming out on Netflix, and that's my jam right now, and that's what I'm watching.
Yeah, I'm going to have to catch up on Jessica Jones. The 13 different episodes, all by 13 different women directors, is super compelling.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. This is Brad, and you can find me at Brad Bogus on all of the socials, Twitter and Instagram.
Force Ghost Brad?
I might be Force Ghost Brad.
Force Ghost Brad happen.
We'll see. I've been on Twitter since, I don't know, whenever you get on Twitter. And ever since I've been on it, I've just been at Brad Bogus.
Brad remembers why 140 characters was the limit originally.
Oh, yeah, man.
Something about SMS,
it.
Which none of you kids know what that means either.
I miss it. I miss forcing people down into less words.
I need that too.
And the podcast. Speaking
there's
of
such words. A great Mark Twainian sort of like writing ethic to it. Anyway, so That'll probably be the nerdiest thing I say today. I've got to get into Jessica Jones for sure. I want to watch Rebels now from the start to finish because the last season was just so fucking cool. And seeing Andrew talk about it really just got me connected to it in a way that I'm like, all right, well, clearly I'm going to have to take that in. He teared up. I know, man. That guy is like passionate about some Star Wars in a way that I
teared up.
That, yeah. You guys both had a moment. That moment was real. I caught it. I put it in my heart. And now I'm going to go watch that show.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have a big hole in my heart after, you know what I'm plugging, guys, after Dragon Ball Super ends, because the penultimate episode was fucking sick. Oh, the animation was on point. It was just a great episode. That's something I won't spoil, but... yeah, I love that. Also wanting to just getting started with Jessica Jones here, literally in episode one, which is fun because she just met up with Luke Cage, which I'm, and I saw that part too. So.
I'm like this. I gotta like turn away sometimes.
Like, damn,
I like this Netflix stuff. This is a lot more like just gritty and like darker. Yeah. It's a nice touch. Yeah, I like that a lot.
The Luke Cage series really was impressive. So I didn't know that Jessica Jones and Luke Cage that intertwined. I'm gonna have to catch up.
yeah, he was interesting. Oh yeah, there.
And then non nerdy thing I am gonna plug. Sorry to go a little bit political, but shout out to these kids going out for the march out.
Oh yeah,
to the walkout. Absolutely. Regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, you are watching history.
Yeah,
and it's
man.
Just cool. I gotta dap them.
We had plenty that we could have protested about when I was growing up, and damn near never was a national walkout of any school. Right. I've never seen anything like that.
I'll take a chance to tell a story about it if you don't mind.
Yeah, please do.
I live next door to East High School here in Denver. Like, we're recording 100 feet away from the high school now. And when I was in high school, the second Iraq War was going on, and high school walkouts were happening in protest to the war at that point, especially in Pittsburgh. And I was one of the organizers in high school and rabble rousers of walkouts. And the morning of the high school walkouts last week, I walked over to East, and my wife was like, "Where are you going?" And I was like, "I just want to be there and applaud them, because I remember the community coming out for us and supporting us and supporting our voices 10 years ago when I was doing this." And there were so many other people at East with me from the community who's just stood in the back. And when the students walked past, we weren't walking to the Capitol with them. We weren't part of the movement.
Right.
But we clapped them out of the way. And then afterwards, I was in a Facebook group with a bunch of my high school friends who kind of shotgunned around the country.
Yeah.
And these were the people who I used to organize it with who had all done a similar thing and were telling their story about going to their local high school. And I was like really fucking touched by like this old political movement kind of coming back. And like, I love seeing this generation having a voice about something so
important. It's really cool.
Yeah.
One of the cool things I saw on Snapchat real quick, they had like basically snaps from all over, and it's the world.
Yeah.
Some places in Australia, England, Germany did the same thing. Walkout. The coolest walkout I saw, there was a girl in South Carolina. She's homeschooled. She walked right out of her house for 17 minutes because she didn't want to miss out on the protest. That's amazing. I was like, get it, squad.
Shout out to the North Carolina high school student who walked out of his high school
solo. Shout out to
you, man. The only one.
Absolutely. Yeah, there were so many amazing stories out of that. I'll plug the same as you. Yeah,
I mean, it's one thing to have like the whole school walkout, but to be the brave single one,
that's fucking incredible.
How many people won't do something because they don't see other people doing it? You know what I mean? Yeah. All the time.
I'm shouting out the next generation. My social's at Vinny Chant on just about everything. The show's at Nerd AF Show on everything.
My social's at Hugh Johnson 707.
707, what? Awesome. All right, we love you all. Thank you so much. Follow the show on everything, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, /NerdAFShow.
Take care.
Yeah, man.
Spike your hair.
Nerd AF is a production of F420 Films. It is produced this week by Vince Chandler. Andy Caldwell is AWOL, and we are looking for him everywhere that we can. Please tweet us when you find him at Nerd AF Show. We are hosted, as we always are, by Rich. Oh, we are not hosted, as we always are, because it's changing soon. Tweet us also who you think the new host should be, because we are formally, and this weekend for the next couple, hosted by Brad Bogus, Richard Williams, and Hugh Johnson. Bye.